Anybody need a handout tonight? Okay, we've got several all over the room. Are we out? No, we've still got a few back there. Let's get those passed out. So thank you, Shay. You are awesome. Keep your hand up until Shay gets to you, and she'll get a handout into your hands. And I'm going to get right into this tonight because we got a lot to talk about. Tonight, here's the title. I sent you an email, and I told you we're going to be talking about the beginning and before the beginning. I'm starting a brand new series tonight, Common Thread, My Bible, My Life. How many of you brought your Bible tonight? We don't know. Oh, look at that all over the room. See, we don't. Now, if you didn't, please don't feel bad. We don't usually use the Bible around here. Just kidding. We use the Bible, but I usually put it all up on the screen. But tonight, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to open up to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Just leave it there on your lap. And you don't need to turn anywhere else. I'll put every other scripture up on the screen. But to go ahead and just leave that out there if you want to. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But before we do, I want to give you an illustration to help. Thank you. Is that it? That's all? Okay. Thank you very, very much, Shay. All right, I want to use an illustration. Go ahead and... Hi, Hirsch. Did you have something you want to say?
Yeah,
did you want to say something, Hirsch?
I said, I'm really happy to be here because I love this guy.
Oh, you're... I hope you're not lying. Go ahead and give me that first picture, would you please? All right, does anybody know what this is? Don't say visible spectrum. Don't read it. Tell me what it is. It is the spectrum of light. Right, this is the complete spectrum of light. Now, I didn't bring the little pointer up here because I'm not going to dwell on this a long time, but I want to use this as an illustration. I want to use this as an illustration, especially for those of you who really like science. I just want you to... There's nothing wrong with science, Sherry. Well, that's because you don't understand it. It doesn't like you either. What I want you to notice, hey, come on, let me do this now. I want you to take a look. What you see there at the top, that is the entire spectrum of light. Now, it is a very, very broad spectrum, very, very big spectrum. In fact, to kind of help us to understand how big it is, you notice that little sliver of color right there in the middle, that is the part of the light spectrum that we can actually see. In fact, that's the only portion we can see. That's the visible spectrum of light you see there. And you remember that from your junior high, maybe science days, where they made us memorize the colors going from violet to red. And of course, we know that everything beyond that, it's still light, but we can't see it. Now, why am I kind of putting this up here? This, just like we have this very, very small portion of a very, very big spectrum that we are aware of. That's the part that we know. We also use these other parts. You see, for example, going to the left, you know, we know that UV rays exist, and you take care to try to avoid some of that because you know it's harmful for you. On the other hand, you continue to move to the left. If we find X-rays, X-rays are something very, very necessary in our lives, aren't they? X-rays help us to be healthy because they can identify what may be going wrong inside of our bodies. Going the other way, you know, we understand, we use microwaves and we look at radio waves and if you want to listen to the radio and every technology that we have today, including the cell phone that you and I are dependent upon today, all that is because of things that we cannot see. So the point is, this huge spectrum that influences and affects our lives in very, very real ways, but we're mostly unaware of it. We have to work much harder to learn about X-rays and gamma rays down here on the left. Now, going this direction, the further out you go, it gets bad. But, you know, going this direction, we use these things, but we have to study these things. We have to work really, really hard to even know they're there, and yet they influence our lives in big ways. Now, I use this to also then illustrate. This is also a pretty good illustration. If we want to talk about man, and we want to talk about time, for instance, you know, man's time on this earth, man's time even in the history of mankind, each one of us individually, very, very small, is it not? We are a small sliver in the grand scheme of man's history on this earth. But even man's history on this earth, and I'll be getting into this in just a minute, man's history on this earth is also a very small sliver of time if we want to think in terms of God and we want to think in terms of eternity. Now, it's hard for us to comprehend eternity. It's hard for us to comprehend eternity past, at least. Do you struggle with that? How can something always have been? And, you know, one of the things that people struggle with is that, and one of the illustrations that I've used, I'll just mention it now because I want to move on to other things, but the best way probably to process and think about time and God and eternity is to think in terms of a circle. You know, if you have a circle, things can move around on that. There's no beginning or no end to a circle, right? There is no beginning. That's sort of that eternal concept. But there was a time when God decided that he was going to, in his infinity, in his infinite, outside the bounds of time, he stopped the process and began something that we call our universe. It'd be like taking this big circle and taking a line and drawing and starting that line right across the center of that circle. We're on a timeline. We get that. That's the world we understand. But at some point, that timeline is going to end. It's going to intersect that circle again, and we will enter into another period of eternity. That's kind of the big picture, then, of God and us. But I wanted you to see that this is also, this spectrum of light is also kind of a spectrum of time. It's hard for us to imagine what happened a long, long time ago, isn't it? It's hard for us to imagine what's going to happen a long, long time from now. But we know the Bible sort of hints at it. So in the same way, this is also an illustration of man and truth. The parts in that visible spectrum, that part that we can see and hold, you can hold that right in your hands. You can read about it. Basically, from Genesis chapter 1 until Revelation chapter 22, you can read about it, you can touch it, we can go back and forth, we can pick out parts, and we can study it, and we can read it, and we can know everything. But it's in a very short period of time. It's not talking about what's going to happen a million years from now, is it? It also doesn't talk about what happened a million years ago. You see, God gave us what we have to have, but the rest is something that is, the further away we get from the beginning and the end of this book, it starts getting fuzzier, doesn't it? Just like the visible spectrum does. The further out we get away from that visible spectrum, things begin to get fuzzier and harder to understand. And so I gave you that illustration because I just wanted us to see that we have a book. This whole study is about the Bible. This whole year is going to be about understanding the stories of the Bible. But what I want us to understand, like I kind of did with Return of the King, that series, there's so much more than what takes place between Genesis chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 22. The beginning and the end of the Bible. But we're going to concern ourselves mainly with what happens in that small period of time. But tonight, I think it's important that we begin at the beginning. So, you've got your Bibles. You've got them out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go ahead and go to that, and let's take a look at what the Bible has to say. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, notice, in the beginning. My question, you know, I could ask is, well, which beginning? Which beginning are we talking about? Because when we think of beginning, we think of there's only one beginning, but are we talking about the beginning when God really created the entire universe, or are we talking about the beginning that we, that little sliver of that visible spectrum, if as it were, of what we know? We're going to kind of get into that tonight. This series is not going to be a detailed study, but we're going to do three things. If you've got your study guide, I haven't gotten any of your notes yet. We're going to do three things with this study that I'm going to take a long time this year. I'm going to take most of this year to do. Number one, we're going to learn great Bible stories. This is going to be a joint effort, by the way. It's going to be a joint effort. We're going to learn the great Bible stories. Do you have times when you hear a name mentioned from Scripture and you wish you knew the story? We all do. Yeah. We're going to learn all the great Bible stories. Okay, the ones that we talk about all the time. I promise you, if you'll come this entire year on Wednesday nights, you'll learn all those stories that you hear about, you hear referenced, and not only will you hear the stories taught, but I believe I'm going to try to teach them in a way that we can all remember them. Right? That's the first part. That's my part. The second is that we're going to see there's a common thread through all those stories. And that common thread is a person, Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus is in Genesis? We're going to see that today. He's in Exodus. He's in Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all those. We go all the way through the Scriptures. He is in all of the books of the Bible, even the Old Testament. That's also going to be my part. Then here's where you come in. The third thing we're going to do is we're going to discuss the life applications. at the end of every Wednesday night in this series, I hope to shut up. at about 10 till, quarter till, probably not tonight, but at some point, my hope is that I can stop talking and you begin talking. Because I want to hear your thoughts about the life applications of the stories that we're talking. In other words, I want you to be sitting there the entire time that I teach this story saying, why do I care? Why do I care about that? Why do I care about that story? Why do I care that Jesus is in that truth? That's kind of where we're headed. So let's begin at the beginning tonight. Let's really get into it. We may not have time for that tonight because it's already 7:30, but we're going to get right into this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go back to that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I think this is kind of a common point for everybody that we look at that and we think, okay, well, that's talking at the beginning of the universe. But here's where we find some Christians that begin to make an issue where there is none. When we start thinking about this verse, and I said, which beginning are we talking about? There's an issue between Christianity, for example, and the modern world, where we have a timeline given to us in Scripture. Remember when I said that this between the pages of this book, there between Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, really, and all the way through the end, that is a very short time frame. But there are a lot of Christians who don't think so. And if that's you, that's fine. There are a lot of Christians who believe that the earth is only the 6,000 years of man's recorded history, and that's all as old as it is. And that's fine if you want to believe that. But I got to be honest with you, that is not what I believe. I don't believe that. I don't think Scripture teaches that. In fact, we're gonna kind of get into that. But there's some issue with this with Christians. And what we have in our world today, we have Christians who fight not only with other Christians about how old the universe is, but we also then have Christians who fight with unbelieving world, such as the scientific world. And there's this ongoing battle where there are some Christians who stake their belief that the Bible's true on Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 being 6,000 years ago. Okay, is everybody with me so far? Please understand, that is simply not the case. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 does not have to have happened 6,000 years ago for the Bible to be true. In fact, the Bible teaches something contrary to that, and that's where we're going to start tonight. So what really does the Bible have to say about when the beginning was? Well, it actually doesn't tell us when the beginning was. But what it does tell us is that Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 is the beginning when God created the heavens or the universe, but then something changed. Let's see what the Bible has to say. I'm going to take you now to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. You can turn if you want to, but we're not going to wait for you. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 18. Notice, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. All right, does that sound a little bit like Genesis 1:1 before we get into anything else? Yes? It does, doesn't it? For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it. Now, I would ask you to read the next three words with me, please. He created it not in vain. All right, you see that? Not in vain. I want to give you a Hebrew word that, in fact, I may have put it in your study guide. The Hebrew word that's mentioned there is the Hebrew word tohu. Tohu. Now, what does tohu mean? Well, it means not in vain. How about that? Little hint there. It means not in vain. Actually, what it really means, the word tohu, literally means without form. It means without form. Okay, so literally, it means without form. So as we, I think I gave you that, and it means void. All right, so in this verse, God is speaking, and he said, when I created the earth, I made it not void. I made it not without form. Does everybody see that? Yeah. He went on to say, he also formed it to be, what's the next word? Inhabited. All right, so when God made the earth, according to his words, it was ready to be inhabited. He made it so that somebody or something could inhabit it. And he said that when he first made it, he made it not void. He made it not without form. All right, and then just to put his seal upon it, he said, I am the Lord, and there is none else. So is there any question about what God is saying here? Okay, now let's go back then to Genesis chapter 1. But this time we look at verse number 2. Right after God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, notice what it says. And the earth was without form and void. Right, do you see that? Do you see that as a contradiction to Isaiah chapter 45, what we just read, yes? Now look, now what that means is Isaiah 45:18 and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 cannot both be true if they're simultaneous. Does everybody follow me? If they happened at the exact same time, they can't both be true because God said, when I created the earth, it was habitable. It was not without form. It was not void. And here it says, and the earth was without form and void. Now, do you see that? So, there's only two options here. Either one of those verses is not true, or they couldn't both be talking about the same time period. Do you follow me? Now, which one do you think we're going to assume? That part of the Bible is not true, or that they didn't happen at the same time? They didn't happen at the same time, folks. And nowhere in Genesis chapter 1 does it say that they happened at the same time. This is the big raging debate, though. You'll hear Christians that will just say, well, and they believe they're standing strong for the faith, and I take the Bible literally. Wait a minute. Did I not just take the Bible literally? Yes or no? Did I take the Bible literally? Did I break down two verses, and did they not say exactly the opposite thing? Sure. A literal reading of Scripture tells us that God Himself said, I created the universe, and then something happened. Then there was a period of time before Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 where he said, and the earth was without form. In fact, the Hebrew wording there could literally, and without doing any injustice to Scripture, say, and the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. All I ask you here is right now, does that verse right there, is there any way that life could live on that right there? No. Because it's without form, it's void, it's empty, it's dark, it's covered in water. There can't be any life. And so here's what happened. And by the way, that without form and void right there, that's the exact same word that we found in Isaiah chapter 45, the Greek, the Hebrew word tohu. Now, I don't expect you to believe everything that I say. Go study that on your own. You'll find the exact same Hebrew word right there as we saw in Isaiah chapter 45. Now, that being said, so what we know is that God created a universe. And he created the earth. And he made the earth to where it could be habited by living creatures. And he made it to where it was a great place. And then something happened. There was a cycle that began there that God creates and Satan destroys. Have you done any study of geology? Has anybody studied geology at all? Okay. If you did, a study of geology shows a very chaotic history of the earth. I mean, very chaotic. It shows multiple layers of destruction. And that could be attributed to volcanoes or meteors or asteroids or what have you. But the earth's history shows millions of years, in fact, billions of years of chaos, of destruction. And you know, that's pretty consistent today, isn't it? When God tries to create something in your life, doesn't Satan try to destroy it? When God tries to create a marriage in your life, doesn't Satan try to destroy it? When God tries to create self-esteem in you, doesn't Satan try to destroy that? You know, it's a repeating cycle. And it's always been that way. It's been that way from the very beginning. Now, well, not from the very beginning. But it has been that way ever since Satan decided that he wasn't satisfied with his position. So I take you back, and when God first created this universe, he also created Satan. We know that because of Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. Notice when God is talking here about Satan. And he says, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. You see, after God created the universe, he also created angels. Now, this is long before man, yes? Do we get that? Long before man. Angels have been in existence long before man. Long before the modern day anything. But angels were in existence, and Satan was a very special one. He was called Lucifer at the time. He was called the cherub, the mighty cherub that covers. And it was he was given charge of the earth. The earth was under his authority. God said, it is yours to manage, and you need to take care of it. You need to do these things. And we all know that Satan at some point decided he didn't like to be under God's authority. He wanted to be the only authority. He wasn't satisfied with just having the authority over the entire earth. Did you ever hear the expression that, ultimate power corrupts? You hear that? You know, and Satan got this, he was given power, but he wasn't satisfied with that. And so he said, I will be like the Most High. He said, I will ascend above the clouds. You see, he didn't want to just dwell on the earth. He didn't want to just control the earth. He wanted to be above the earth. And so he began to rebel. And the Bible says there, till iniquity was found in you. And you know, Satan from that time has been at war with God. Do you believe that Satan's real? See, Satan has always been at war with God ever since that verse right there. Ever since iniquity was found in him and he rebelled, he's always been at war with God. And Earth's history of chaotic geology, of extinction of species, are you bothered by the discussion in the world about extinct species? And when you hear somebody say, well, you know, this species died off millions of years ago, and as a Christian, maybe growing up in a church that didn't understand what I'm teaching you now, that's always bothered you? You struggled with that? A lot of people did. That I've struggled with that until I came to the understanding of really what I'm teaching you today. So our Earth's history is filled with chaos, because Satan has always been at war with God. So we species extinctions and beings of mythological stories, you know, these are all a product of Earth's history. Now, we come then to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Now notice, again, I know I'm telling you, I'm giving you the background, because this is a little bit more in-depth than I'll do most of these nights. But this is really, really important, because this is the foundation of what we believe. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we find that God has come back to earth now. Now watch verse 3. Here we go. The third verse of the Bible you hold in your hands. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So what's happened? God created the universe, and then Satan rebelled, and the earth went through a long, long, long period of very, very chaotic time, where the earth was under attack, and living creatures were under attack, and species were become extinct, such as the dinosaurs. Folks, the dinosaurs lived a very, very long time ago. Please understand that. Abraham did not have a T-Rex as a pet. You couldn't tame a T-Rex. You know, He didn't wait anxiously out of the barn waiting for his little baby raptors to be born. Okay? It just didn't happen. They were just one of many multiple species of extinct animals that happened in that chaotic time between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. But now we have God coming back. And notice it says, let there be light. Now, if you ask most Christians what that says, what we normally read with that is, and God created light, right? If you ask people, what's the first thing God created after the universe? A lot of people will tell you, oh, he created light. Yeah, he made light right there. Does it say he created light there? What does it say exactly? Let there be light. Now, what did God mean when he said, let there be light? This is day one, right? This is day one of the recreation. So God comes back to earth and he says, let there be light. Now, what is this light? Well, it's really not a what, but it's a who. It's a who. How do we know who this light is? We go to John chapter 1 and watch the parallels between John chapter 1 and verse 1 now and Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, before we spoiler alert here, who can tell me who the Word is? Jesus. He's mentioned that many, many times, but let's continue to read. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without anything, and was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Now watch. And the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, this verse has a double meaning, does it not? We know this is talking about when Jesus was born on the earth, but what was the first part of this passage talking about? Wasn't it talking about the very beginning when he was creating? You see, Jesus is the light that's being talked about. So what's really happening in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3? What we find in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, that's not when God created the sun. He didn't create it on day 4 either, by the way. But it's simply Jesus coming back to earth. It's Jesus coming back to the earth to provide light to this earth, because he had left it because of all the chaos and all the war and all the fighting that Satan had brought to the world. So Jesus comes back. God came back to earth and he brought Jesus with him. And so, you see, light is the essence of Jesus' goodness. And then I want you to notice how he separated the... So here's God. And God has come back to this earth now. This earth that had for all these long periods of time had been under the control of Satan, had been bombarded by Satan, had been the focus of war. God comes back. He brings Jesus with him. And he says, we're going to put light back on this globe. We're going to bring light back to this world. We're going to start again. A recreation of what God had originally done. And he separated the light from the day. Look at verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now, time out. Did God already know that the light was good? So what does it mean when it says God saw the light, that it was good? When you say that something is good, doesn't that by its sheer existence mean you're comparing it to something else? Right? If you don't have something that's bad, can you have something that's good? I mean, really, you have to know there has to be a bad for there to be a good, yes? And a good for a bad. So God is making a comparison here. And he said, and he brought Jesus back, and he saw the goodness of Jesus compared to the darkness of Satan. So God divided the light from the darkness. Now, you can't divide light from darkness in a physical, in the way we understand it, right? What happens if we turn all these lights out? It becomes dark. Can you manufacture darkness? Can you make light? Yeah. You see, darkness is simply an absence of light, right? It's darkness isn't a thing. Darkness isn't a thing. It doesn't exist. You can't create darkness in a laboratory. You can turn lights out. You can extinguish all the light, and then you have darkness. But darkness just simply is the absence of light. So when Jesus came back, there was a separation of light and darkness. But God went on, and he said, I'm going to provide a regular occurrence of light and darkness. Look at verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So you see, this is the first day. Now, what did God say here? God came back to the earth after this long period of chaos, this long period of everything being messed up. Everything was bad. Satan had destroyed almost everything he touched, everything that God had created. And God said, now, there's going to be a real separation here. And to illustrate that, I'm going to tie darkness to Satan and evil, and light to day and good and Jesus. Now, having said that, wait till you see this. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. What made Paul say this with that in mind? You, followers of Jesus Christ, are all children of what? Light. Children of the day. Do you see the consistency there? He said, you're children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or darkness. Do you see how a scripture clear at the end of your Bible, and the scripture clear at the beginning, God ties it all together, and God says, when I came back to this earth, after this long period of chaos, this long period of destruction, I have now created the recreation began with a separation of good and evil, and Satan no longer had total control of the earth. All right, so I hope you're with me here. So the creation story really is mislabeled. We always say the creation story. It's actually a recreation. Now, having said that, and I'm going to move on. If you don't believe that, if you believe that God created the world 6,000 years ago and it was just, you know, this and it was that simple, that's fine. God bless you. We're going to go to heaven someday and we'll let Jesus settle it. Right? because it doesn't have thing one to do with whether or not you're saved. But don't make the mistake of thinking that people who disagree with you or people who think differently than you do automatically don't believe the Bible, because what I have just shown you is very clearly in Scripture that God said there's a certain way that this whole thing happened, and that's how it was. Okay? So, having said that, then let's finish the story here. Let's finish the story so we can get to your comments. So we're talking about the recreation then. So day one, God came back and he brought Jesus with him as the light. Day two, and we're not going to read all the scripture, but God cleaned up the atmosphere. The Bible says that's where the discussion of the firmament. God cleaned up the atmosphere so that there is air around the earth so that life could begin to grow on it. Day number three, God brought all the water in the oceans together. And he raised the places for land so that and you know, when God brought that land up, and the Bible says that he called for the grass of the field and the herbs of the field to grow. You know, there were dormant seeds in that dirt that had been buried underneath all that water. And when those got close enough to the surface, God called for those dormant seeds to begin to grow. And so green plants began to grow again on the earth. Day number four, the Bible says that on day number four, if you ask most Christians most Christians will believe that the sun was created on day four. Have you ever heard that? Well, the sun couldn't be created on day four because you can't have a day without the sun. We understand a 24-hour day is one rotation of the earth with respect to the sun, yes? So what does it mean when God said, when the Bible talks about the light of the day and the night? Well, what it means is God cleared away the debris from the stratosphere of our planet. He cleared away all of that chaos. Remember when Earth's history shows this constant bombardment of Satan with asteroids and comets and destruction, and all that goes up into the atmosphere. It eventually makes its way into the stratosphere surrounding our Earth. And God cleared all that away so that the light of the sun and the light of the moon and the light of the stars could be visible from Earth. God is just simply recreating what he once had made beautiful and perfect. Day five, God stocked the oceans and the lakes and all the aquatic, all the places like that with species, aquatic species, and he stocked the air and the land with birds, and instructed them all to reproduce. And day six, then God brought animals into being, and finally, his final and prized creation of the era, man. All right, so that's the 6 days of recreation. Now, let me just take a moment before we open this up for discussion, because we're talking about the very beginning here. Let me take a moment and deal with the issue of evolution. Now, I understand that's a touchy subject. What really, can anybody give me, what are the basic tenets of evolution? Now, this is an open question. I want you to answer. Because Christians are real quick to bash evolutionists as stupid. Do you even know what it means? What does it mean, Ken?
It's evolving from one thing to another. It's evolving upwards.
Okay, upwards. Okay. So basically, well, see, and we do. We simplify that saying, well, that just means man came from monkeys. Well, actually, the tenets of evolution are simply this. In the absence of a creator, most evolutionists believe in the absence of a creator, advanced life came from simpler life. That's really the fundamental. That's really the tenets of evolution. So if you talk to somebody who is a proponent of the theory of evolution, it postulates that all the advanced life we see is the result of long periods of time of changing and evolving and adapting. Stronger species tend to survive, therefore they produce offspring. Weaker specimens, they don't survive and they don't reproduce. And so over time, more advanced species come from lesser advanced species. Now, obviously, we don't necessarily believe that. All right, I don't believe that. However, I want to give you a couple of things here before we get too judgmental. I'm going to ask you to consider a couple of things. Number one, what does the fossil record indicate? Now, if you've been in a Kent Hovind series, you're going to have a hard time with this. A young Earth creationist. What is the fossil? Does anybody know what the fossil record indicates? All right, let me ask you this. How many of you think that all people who believe in evolution are stupid? You don't want to answer, do you? See, that's the typical Christian's answer. Well, you're just stupid. You just think we came from monkeys. That's what a lot of Christians do. And they can't even tell you what the tenets of evolution are. Nor can they even discuss what the... You know what the fossil record indicates? You know what the logical conclusion is that you would come to if you studied the fossil record? You would come to the conclusion that lower life forms kept evolving into better life forms. It is the logical conclusion based upon the fossil record if you don't know better. If you don't believe that a God created those individual species. It is the logical thing. So first of all, I'd ask you to consider, number one, the fossil record. Number two, have you ever stopped to take a look at the order in which God said he recreated life? I mean, what was the order that he gave us? The earth first, waters began to collect, land began to show. But what was the first life? Fish, birds. That's exactly what an evolutionist would tell you. Fish and birds. And then what? Then mammals. Reptiles, then mammals. And last of all, man. That's exactly what the Bible says. So just be careful before being too judgmental. But finally, and here's kind of a little teaser I'm going to give to you, and I'm probably going to leave you a little ticked. Because we're not really going to get into it. But before we get too judgmental about somebody who believes in evolution, take a look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24, and here's a question that if they asked you, would you have an answer for? Now watch carefully. This is your Bible, my Bible. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature. Let the earth bring forth. Do you see that? Little problem for some Christians. Let the earth bring forth the living creature. Now, what that really means is all life has come from the same elements that all other life comes from. In fact, the same elements that make up a tree make up you, just in different quantities. Now, we understand God was the author of all that. But the only point I wanted to make about this, and we start talking about the beginning, and I want to encourage you, because I'm starting a series where I'm going to take an entire year to teach Bible stories. It's going to be really important if you want to bring people with you to church that they don't think they're going to come and hear a bunch of Bible rhetoric. Do you follow me? Because if it's going to be that rhetoric that usually comes from Christian discussions of the Bible, then it's probably not going to be a lot of interest to people who really need to learn what is the real meaning of these Bible stories. Do you know the real meaning of the whole recreation story is not about the creation of the earth? What's it about? It's about Jesus. It's about that common thread. And so I just want us to be careful about how we discuss things. So now mankind is different, of course, and we know that mankind, let's just look at the scripture very, very quickly here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So what does the Bible say about us? Why are we different? Evolutionists or some people would believe that we are just the highest evolved creatures. But God said this, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Notice the plural pronouns there. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over the every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And finally then, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. Now, time out. Do we look just like God? No. Do you think God looks like this? Are you kidding me? I mean, is God going to give himself a body like this one? Is God going to make himself look like this? Of course, God's not going to. I don't look like God. What part of you looks like God? Your spirit does. Your spirit does. You see, your soul is alive. What makes you different from your dog? What makes you different from your dog is the fact that you don't drink out of your toilet. And you don't, do you? And you don't drink out of your toilet because you have a spirit that understands something that your dog doesn't understand. Because your spirit was made alive by God. Let's take a look at chapter 2 and verse 7. This is the last scripture here that we'll look at today. Chapter 2, verse 7. Nope, I didn't give it to you. Okay, here's what it says. Well, you have your Bible open, don't you?
Yes.
All right, it says, and the Lord God, Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and he did what? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, but what does the last part say? And man became a living soul. A living soul. His soul was made alive because God breathed his spirit into ours. So that's what makes man different. And so the recreation story, that's where we begin tonight. We began tonight with the recreation story. And so where is Jesus in all this? Did we see that? He was the light. Jesus came back in and brought light to a dark world. A dark physical world, yes? Is he not still bringing light to a spiritually dark world? But why can't everybody see it? Why can't everybody see it? Well, that's a good question. We'll talk about that next time. You see, but Jesus was there from the very beginning. Jesus was there in the beginning, according to John chapter number 1. Now, the applications then that we want to make, and this is, we won't have time for it tonight because we're out of time. But but here's how I want these evenings to go. I'm going to teach you these stories, not in as much detail as I did tonight, but I can't teach the creation story without going into that much detail. I have to answer those questions that are out there. And by the way, let me just say, I will answer any questions anybody has. So bring your friends with you, bring your family with you, and people who have real questions, people who have doubts, people who are skeptics, bring them with you. Because we'll talk in a real way, as I did tonight, about what the Bible really does say. But far more importantly is, why do we care? Why do we care? I'll just leave you with this. Please know that Jesus is still in the life-bringing business. Jesus is still in the light-bringing business. That's why our sign out front says, find hope here. Because hope isn't in any set of beliefs. It's not in any set of church beliefs. Hope is found in Jesus Christ. But we have to win people to us before we can win them to him. Does anybody have any quick, we have 1 minute. Anybody have any question or comment that you want to make tonight? Yes, Ken.
I always thought, and maybe you've talked about this before, but couldn't human beings be able to be in the form of, the Neanderthal or whatever, but until God gave them like the prefrontal cortex idea, and then they became man.
Okay, he's asking about... Yeah, so basically he's asking about prior to when God said, let us make man in our image and breathe into his nostril breath of life. He's saying, what about these Neanderthals? Neanderthals is technically the pronunciation of it, and Cro-Magnon and all these names. And we will actually get into that when we start talking about Cain and Abel. But yes, I do believe. I believe that there were other hominids, is what I would call them. They were human-like beings, basically more like animals because they did not have it. The only, again... Folks, understand, you don't use as much as your brain as a dolphin does. Look, don't be offended by that. It's a fact. A dolphin uses more of its brain than you and I do. Some more than others. So let's don't get too high-minded about how smart we are. The fact is, God made us different by putting his spirit into us. So yeah, what Ken said is, I do believe, they dig up bones of people who, different body proportions, different brain sizes and all those things. Those were a different kind of hominid, but God made modern man special, and that's also why those died out, except for the Bigfoots, of course. So they're the remnant, okay? Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll get into all that next time. It's 8:01. Thank you so much for being here. What a great crowd tonight. And next time, we're going to, here's what I want you to, I want you to study or read about the fall, Adam, Eve, and the fall into sin. And come ready with your questions and your applications for the end of the night. God bless you.